All right. Well, as you heard just a few moments ago in the introduction, we are so pleased to make the acquaintance of and welcome Kathleen Holt. She is the Connecticut Healthcare Advocate, and her Office of the Healthcare Advocate provides free support to help consumers understand their health benefits. They advocate for consumers when their benefits are denied, and they represent consumers' healthcare interests with insurance providers, the legislature, and others. We're in the early stages of the short session, a lot going on in the Capitol these days. Kathy, thank you very much for joining us on the program this morning. Let's start the conversation just reminding me and folks listening from whence you came to the Office of the Healthcare Advocate. What was your prior work? And I guess it's important also preface, you're not necessarily a medical professional, although you work with many hundreds of them all the time, right?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, John, for having me and for allowing me to join your audience. I really appreciate the time to explain about the Office of the Healthcare Advocate. But to your question, I worked for Cigna for about 5 years, so I have an insurance background. And then in the meantime, while I was working for Cigna, I got my MBA in healthcare management from UConn. I decided that I wanted to take a little bit of an adventure. My intent was to leave Connecticut for a couple of years, go do something else, and then come back. Well, after about 30 years in Seattle, where I worked as a hospital administrator for about 5 years, and then went to law school out at Seattle University. Mm. I worked for the Department of Health and Human Services. So I was with the federal government for a period of time where I was a special assistant United States attorney for the Department of Health and Human Services, and did a lot of work with patient interest, patient protection for the federal government. Then I had a son who was profoundly disabled and really needed to have the opportunity to work directly with people who were disabled. So I spent some time, had my own law practice, and represented people who had issues with insurance, Medicaid, and disabilities. And then moved back to Connecticut about 10 years ago, was an attorney for the Center for Medicare Advocacy, which is located here in Connecticut. Hmm. So I have my background kind of runs from insurance to hospitals to patients and advocacy. And that's really how I ended up at the Office of the Healthcare Advocate from the Center for Medicare Advocacy, just to kind of bring back all of my experience with the different parts of healthcare, if you will.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Talk about a punch list that adds up to the perfect candidate for the role that you're playing now on behalf of all of Connecticut's residents. That's you've pretty much turned over all the cards, which is fantastic. And as much as we could probably wipe the slate clean and just spend the rest of the entire 55-minute program, talking about HHS then and now, now that you mentioned it, I'd love to hear your perspective on how changes in today's HHS at the federal level are impacting the constituents that you are dealing with as Connecticut's healthcare advocate today?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the things about the federal government, no matter what the administration, as I said, I started into the world of healthcare back in the 1980s. And so as the decades have gone forward, we've seen with every administration, I don't know if you're old enough to remember when Bill Clinton was in office, Hillary Clinton was charged with upending the healthcare system. And as we've heard more recently, it's complicated. So one of the problems with having a healthcare system that is so vulnerable, sensitive to the markets that we deal with, whether we're Republican or Democrat, you see the pendulum swinging in different ways, and with different administrations coming forward, it kind of stops any forward progress of programs or models that never really get a chance to get off the ground. So it's an interesting world that we live in, and the change of administrations with such a huge complex concept as healthcare
shifting concepts, maybe. Well, are you beginning to receive input from Connecticut residents as a result of fallout or changes that are happening under the current administration?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting being at the Office of the Healthcare Advocate. I will say from this perspective that we serve every resident of Connecticut that has health insurance that either needs to understand what their health insurance is telling them, or if they've been denied or there's some obstacle with using their health insurance, or they just want to understand how to use it better. That's what we do. We've got a great team. There are about 18 of us, and almost everybody but me does direct client service. I do a little myself, but mostly the team that's made up of attorneys, nurses, paralegals, and customer information representatives really takes on the bulk of educating people and fighting for their health care. But what to your point, while there are about 95% of people in Connecticut have some type of insurance, the types of insurance vary widely from what we understand, you know, the old-fashioned fully insured plans that are regulated by the state of Connecticut to what are known as ERISA plans, and those are private employers, like usually the bigger employers, you know, like Electric Boat or AT&T, American Airlines. If you work for a company like that, you have an insurance plan that is not regulated under the state of Connecticut. It's regulated through the federal government. And then, of course, you have people on Medicare, which is federal, and people on Medicaid, which is a combination of state and federal. So there's so many different types of insurance that and a lot of what happens, for instance, in Medicare isn't overseen by the state at all. So we have to kind of navigate those differences, and it makes trying to help people a little more challenging. But that's why our expertise is really great, because everybody has a sense. And there's a lot new, there's new insurance products that were projects that are coming on too. We do work, for instance, with health ministries where people band together and try to insure one another. So everybody's trying to figure out how to afford health care. And that's the biggest part of what we try to do is help people figure out what can you get, what kind of coverage can you get with what you can afford, and what can it do for you. And you want to make sure that whatever product you choose as a consumer, I say product, is insurance plan, covers the doctors you want to go to and covers the medications that you need to take.
And that brings us to our point of convergence. I was eager to chat with you because just a couple of weeks ago, I received your latest e-newsletter, which had a fantastic feature, which I hope will continue. And that is in the vein of education. And this particular segment involved explaining and understanding the different types of costs that may help folks decide how best to use their coverage, or perhaps reduce billing surprises, as you pointed out. So I would like to, for the remainder of the 7 or 8 minutes that we have, to touch upon some of the most important terminology that people should be aware of, or that you have found apparently people do not understand.
Great.
So let's, I mean, something as elementary as premium is something that could have many implications, right?
Yeah. So the idea of how do you pay for your insurance is typically a monthly premium. And a lot of times the mistakes that people make are just deciding on premium alone if they should go with a particular type of insurance. It's important to understand all the out-of-pocket costs that you might encounter. And particularly, I often say to people, none of us has a crystal ball. We don't know what our health future may look like. But if you have chronic conditions, if you have an impairment, if you have a history in your family, you may know that you're going to need a certain type of care. And so when you look at your insurance choices, if you do have insurance choices, you want to look at the premium, what you pay, the cost to just belong to that insurance, as well as the other out-of-pocket costs that you may encounter as you start to use that insurance. So those would typically be a deductible. Deductible typically applies if you haven't yet used your insurance. So that's before you kind of before the insurance company will pay out, you have to meet a
sort of
deductible.
Yeah, sort of like your down payment, right?
Right. But the deductibles don't often matter if you are getting a preventive service. So something like a cancer screening or a vaccination, there may be certain preventive care that is not applicable to the deductible. That you just, you know, you can go to your doctor once a year to have a checkup, and usually that isn't applied to the deductible. Mm-hmm. They just, you know, and part of that is the healthier we can all remain, or the sooner, the earlier that we can catch something that may be happening health-wise, the less expensive it's going to be in the long run, right? So there's the deductible. The other kind of big parts of the out-of-pocket costs are coinsurance and copayment. And it's important to know the difference between those two terms. Copayment is typically a flat amount. So if you have a copayment, say, to see a specialist, you go to the specialist, you have to pay $45. It's a flat amount versus co-insurance, which is a percentage. And the thing, again, about percentages is the bigger the cost. So if I have a test and it's a $2,000 test and I have a 20% copayment, then I have to pay $400. So again, the more that you have to pay, the more you worry about co-insurances versus co-payments. If I just know that my co-payment is going to be $45, no matter if the charge is $100 or if it's $4,500, I only have to pay a co-payment of $45, I'm better off.
Very good.
So there are ways that we look at that. The other really important concept about out-of-pocket is making sure that when you go to a pharmacy or you go to a doctor or you get your eyes examined and you go to pick up glasses, you want to go to what are known as preferred providers. If you have insurance, oftentimes people will say to me, well, I called LensCrafter and they told me that they take my insurance. Well, if LensCrafters is not a preferred provider, the insurance may only pay a fraction of what they might pay the boutique eye exam place where you can get glasses down the street. Hmm. So be very careful as a consumer to ask, what are the preferred providers that I could go to?
Right. So it's not about anyone can accept your healthcare insurance, but preferred providers offer a potentially a much better level of affordability in the big picture.
Right, because they've negotiated with the insurance.
Good.
Yeah.
The other terminology that kind of has two parts is the allowed amount, and kind of like with the preferred provider, there's component terminology in network and out of network.
Right, right. And again, it depends on the type of insurance. Some insurance has in-network providers that you need to go to. And if you go, if you don't go to those preferred providers, you go out of network. Depending on the type of plan you have, there may be some coverage or there may be no coverage. So it's important when you're choosing an insurance to go through the provider list and say, you know, if I love Dr. Jones, I want to make sure that Dr. Jones is on that list. If not, that's probably not the insurance for me. The other advice I always say to people is if you have a relationship with a doctor or any kind of provider, go to the business office of that doctor's office. Call them and say, what insurance do you accept? What is the easiest insurance to work with? Because if it's easy for the provider to work with, then typically the customer service for the consumer is going to be good too.
Very good. For folks who are interested in learning more about the Office of the Healthcare Advocate and the work that that our guest this morning, Kathy Holt, is doing with her team there, you can go to their website, portal.ct.gov/OHA for the Office of Healthcare Advocate, and sign up for their newsletter. Their latest one featured some of this terminology that's explained in a way you could download and keep as a reference in a following newsletter, which may be on its way to us now. You're looking at questions that you should ask providers to minimize healthcare costs beyond the couple that you've already illustrated, Kathy. So I think probably in the last minute or two that we have, I want you to help remind everyone listening that if they are in some sort of trouble, if there's some confusion, if they feel that they're paying too much or they've been billed for something that they believed was covered, you're the office where they should reach out.
Absolutely right. So that's what we do. We're here to serve people and to help them. I will say that statistically about 70 to 80% of the time, if someone comes to us with a denied claim, we are able to get that claim overturned for them. We can't do it for everybody, depending on the circumstances, but we have a team that is really, truly amazing, and they are even able to get exceptions to coverage policies. So a policy may say something's not covered, but we may be able to have a conversation with the insurance company and explain that the situation warrants it. It will save money in the long run and get coverage for things that typically wouldn't be covered. But we're here to answer questions. We're here to help people with resources, and we just want to make people have a better experience. It's really, really scary to be denied by an insurance company that you have put your trust in.
Yeah. Over the many years since the Office of the Healthcare Advocate was created here in the state, I've talked to a number of your predecessors and now you, And it's fantastic information. Every single time I'm either in the line at the grocery store or at an event talking to somebody and they happen to bring up, or I hear somebody's having a problem and they felt that they got billed for something that they didn't wouldn't have to pay on their health insurance, or having anything health related as an issue tied to coverage, I always say, oh, have you gone to the Office of the Healthcare Advocate? Because, you know, 7-8 out of 10 times, they're going to get you the money back or they're going to fix it. And they look at me like, Office of the Healthcare Advocate, what is that? So I'm so glad we're able to provide this forum to help continuously reinforce the presence and value of your office and your team. Kathy, I thank you so much for your time this morning. Kathy Holt is Connecticut's healthcare advocate. Whether you need help understanding your health benefits, appealing a denied claim, making your voice heard, or you just want to learn more so you can be a better consumer of healthcare coverage, Kathy and her team of experts and advocates are on your side. So portal.ct.gov/OHA is the website, and Kathy will leave it at that. Thank you so very much for your time today, and hopefully we'll catch up again in a few months and remind folks again that you're there for them.